Guys, and welcome to the Sam Smith audio show. This is the last episode of the season until COVID dies down, guys. And we have Tyler from Riverview. And what's up, man? You want to introduce yourself?
Hey, yeah, sure. My name is Tyler Clark. I play drums in Riverview, and I'm just appreciate you having me on, Sam.
No problem, man. I appreciate you coming on the show and stuff, you know. Everything's hectic right now, you know, with the holidays and all that. The planning's been kind of rough. And I apologize. There's not going to be a video. This is just going to be up on Spotify and all the other major platforms, for listening and stuff.
Yeah.
So, which that actually I got some questions for you, but I want to put this out there real quick. That's actually, I'm trying to gear more people towards listening on Spotify and stuff and sharing that more because all the proceeds that I get from that, from the ads from my sponsor, it's going to go towards putting care packages together for the homeless. And okay. If anybody wants to send me like some old jackets or old blankets or anything like that that you would want to donate towards this, then give me a shout on Facebook. Hit me up, Samuel Smith, SAMUAL, or just hit up Sam Smith Audio Show page. And appreciate that, guys. Anyways, Tyler Riverview. So you're from where are you from?
I'm originally from Maumelle, but I've been in Hot Springs for the past 2 years.
Oh, okay. How do you like that, man?
It's not too bad. It's definitely kind of a nice break from the Little Rock area, especially with all the traffic and all that fun stuff. I don't miss that at all. But there's not as much to do, so that's kind of a buzzkill. But I like Hot Springs. It's a pretty cool little town.
Yeah. They have a lot of tourist attractions and stuff like that, you know?
Definitely.
I've never been to Oakland, so I can't say anything about that. I've just heard about it a lot. But
yeah, it's a fun time if you're winning. If you're losing, oh, it's a long night, man.
I could imagine. Yeah.
Yes. Definitely.
So how did Riverview come about? What I really wanted to ask, though, so I'm just gonna get this out of the way because I think the name is really cool, man. I know that y'all named it. It was like it's because Riverview Skate Park. You know, I saw that on Facebook, and I was like, man, that's cool as hell. Cause I grew up going there as a teenager, stuff
exactly.
On and off.
Yep.
Yeah. So I was wondering, did you guys go to the skate park a lot?
I did growing up, and we all did. Yep. I was probably like 12 or 13, so it was a long time ago, but it was a place I really did enjoy to, you know, go to when growing up, just to see people and just, you know, just to skate and just have a good time, you know, when we didn't have any responsibilities in life to worry about. It was just kind of a good feeling, just good memories associated with that. So we just kind of figured we wanted to kind of make it some sort of reference to Arkansas. And then I think our guitarist Jacob came up with the idea. So that sounds great. Let's make it happen. So,
yeah, man, because dude, that skate park's been dead for a long time too. And I thought that I've been thinking that's really sad, you know,
it is.
Cause it's such a big part of like a lot of people's childhood stuff. And to see like nobody going there and the skate scene is just so small. I remember we used to have like three or four different shops, like skate shops, that had their own skate teams and shit like that, sponsor people and stuff around Little Rock. And now there's like, what, one, two?
Yeah, I definitely don't hear about it much. I remember Section 8 going there a ton, and I can't really
Section
remember.
Section 8 Imperial skate shop.
Yep.
There was, Section 8 was in Bryant, but
I believe so. It sounds familiar, but I was never in Bryant too much, but that name does sound familiar.
Yeah. I don't know if it was Section 8. They had one in Bryant where they made their own boards in shop and
stuff.
Oh,
that's cool.
You know, Yeah, so they had like shop decks and stuff. So like everybody they sponsored rode their board. It was pretty cool, you know. They floated a couple people that I know and stuff. So I was never that good. I just was the guy that rode around on the skateboard, you know, with all my buddies.
Yep. I never tried
anything big. Yeah.
Same here, man. I was just always like too scared. I was like, knowing my luck, I'm gonna, you know, try to, you know, ollie up 4 or 5 stair and just be, you know, that's it. I'm gonna get a concussion or something. So that always kind of held me back. So I just rode around like you, but it was a good time.
Yeah.
Just a good way.
I mean, I would bomb parking decks, so don't get me wrong, man.
Yeah.
I would bomb parking decks and stuff like that. That can be pretty dangerous. That can be pretty sketchy, especially if there's like a lot of cars and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I've almost slid into a couple cars doing that. Yeah, so that can be kind of sketchy, you know. But
yep.
You know, yeah, it was a lot of fun. So, you guys are doing a giveaway too. I saw that like right before we started recording.
Yeah, just a little giveaway. I was in some bands in the past, and one thing, you know, as a local band is just really trying to stress the growth on Spotify and now Apple Music, since that's kind of come up, because I don't hear about it as much, but I know there are people that use it. So just trying to give away a couple $10 Amazon gift cards and some stickers just for people to follow us on Spotify or Apple Music, whichever one they use, and save the song to their library, and that's it. Just kind of something simple. Yeah. And just, you know, people could, you know, get a little bit of Amazon money out of it for the holidays. So, and a couple stickers too. So it's just kind of something to interact and, you know, just kind of, I've always felt like the less work, the better. Cause I know we all are kind of, not everyone, but most people can be pretty lazy these days. You know, they don't want to have a lot of steps required. So just simple little giveaways like that, just to try to build your base and grow on there. Cause that'll get you onto those playlists, you know, with thousands of individuals.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, man, dude, I love Spotify and the way it works, stuff. You know, it's, it's a good setup. They own Spotify owns the platform that I record my podcast with.
Sweet.
So, they sponsor the show and stuff. But I'm not just saying that because of that. So
yeah.
So don't get me wrong, you know, like I genuinely enjoy it, you know, regardless of that other stuff. I mean, they don't pay shit anyways, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
every artist knows, like, they might sponsor a podcast, but, like, you're getting paid clicks per minute, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And, but it's enough for me to do a couple of, like, you know, care packages homeless.
For sure.
So it's just worth it, you know?
Definitely.
And I'm doing this for a hobby anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not really worried about that.
Yeah. Exactly. And that, I think that's great that you do that for
you
the
gotta
homeless.
Be in it for you gotta be in anything that you do, you know, whether it's music, podcasting, whatever, you gotta be in it because you genuinely enjoy it, you know. Not for money or to try and get yourself known or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Because if you go into it for those reasons, you're going to fail for sure. Definitely.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of people that do go into it for stuff like that, for like the clout or whatever, you know? And that's gross.
It is. Because you know, not everyone fails, obviously, if they go into it for that. But it's just you're going to be so disappointed because.
Yeah,
because you know how it is, and you know I know how it is with what we do. I mean, you got to really grind it out. I mean, you've got to have a passion for it. Otherwise, it's just going to be a disappointment, and you're not going to be happy. It's just a product. You got to build it and make it happen. And, you know, if it works out, it works out. If not, hey, you had a good time doing it. That's what matters.
Exactly, man. I have a good time with what I do, even when it doesn't go right. You know what I mean? I still try and have a great time, you know, and just trying to make the best out of talking to people and stuff like that, you know.
I love
conversation, obviously, or I wouldn't be doing a podcast. Like, talking to people is my hobby.
Yeah, definitely. It's always good to meet new people and just talk. I totally get that, for sure.
Yeah, and people like to listen to people thought. You know what I mean? So it works out for everybody.
It really does. It's strange how we like to listen to people talk, but you know, it's just
isn't
something.
It?
Yeah, it really is, but it is a cool thing because you can find some real interesting stuff out there.
Oh yeah, dude, you got to look at the smaller podcasts. Like that's where the interesting people are at, man. Like the really interesting people. A lot of these smaller podcasts, stuff, you know, people that you don't normally hear about stuff. I mean, I like bigger podcasts. Yeah, there was a little bit of lag there, but anyways, I like bigger podcasts, but I mean, you know, it's to the point where it's like watching the same shit over and over again. Some of these big famous people and stuff, like, it gets old fast. Like you can get burned out on it. So.
Exactly, it really is, and I just feel more motivated to support people, you know, who are just, you know, small or just kind of getting started or kind of in between, you know, large and small, because I just feel, you know, that they just have a lot more passion and effort and energy into it. So
I got a question. So how did you guys, like, how did all of you meet, get acquainted and stuff?
Oh,
I noticed y'all live far, like, really far apart, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah, it is kind of odd with, you know, since I'm in Hot Springs and we have someone in Bald Knob out of all places, which is a good hour and a half difference or drive time, maybe even two. But basically how it all happened, I've been playing around Little Rock for the past 10 years in various other bands. And I had Jacob, our guitarist, reach out to me when I was really busy with my older band. And I was doing a lot with them, playing a lot of shows, doing little weekend tours here and there. And I was just like, hey, man, like, I appreciate you hitting me up. Sounds good. I just don't have the time. And then he was persistent. And then things didn't end up working out with the old band. You know, things happen. Life happens as expected. And then we got back in touch. And I was like, well, I'm free now. And I moved. And I'm trying to meet people. So let's just get together and jam and see what happens. And then we just kind of found the people from there. And here we are. That's pretty much the very short and sweet version of it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's cool. I noticed the other guy, you know, he said that he was in Illinois and stuff, or is that right?
Yeah, he came from the Chicago area. Basically, I saw him comment on a post a couple months ago. I was like, hey, I'm a bass player, just moved to Little Rock looking for pop punk. And I was like, my guy. Come
dude,
on, let's do it.
Fact,
and then I see
man,
him
that
see,
you guys yeah. all ran into each other, you know, like right at the perfect time and stuff, you know. That yeah,
definitely.
Man, I believe that certain people are supposed to meet, you know, in life, dude. And that definitely seems like that's what's going on with you guys. Cause, dude, Knuckles is a fucking badass song. That shit's flat, dude.
I appreciate it, man. And it was basically the process with that. Jacob and I would just, you know, it was pretty much just us for about a year because we kept having members, you know, they'd move off, they'd lose their job, you know, things happened. Some got married, just life stuff. And he just busted out that one of the riffs one day for Knuckles. I was like, hey, that's it.
So
we rolled with it.
Do you guys record? Do y'all do all the recording and mixing and everything yourselves, or like how do y'all go about that?
For drums, we go to a guy named Bert. I had never heard of him in all the time I've played in Little Rock. He's off Broadway in downtown, and so we did drums with him. He was excellent. Definitely the easiest guy I've ever worked with in a studio with drums. And then we do the drums there. Then they record the guitars, I guess, on their laptops or whatever. I'm not too tech savvy with all that. And then we send it all off to a guy named Nathan and Ozark out of all places. And he is the, in my opinion, like the best producer studio guy in Arkansas. I mean, he can make it sound professional, just like he gets stuff on the radio. So pretty much we don't do, the only do it yourself is probably just the guitars and the bass, but the drums and, everything else, I guess, kind of go to him. That's the best way I can explain it. Because, like I said, I'm not the super tech savvy guy, just kind of going to studio, do my drums. I'm like, all right, it's Joel's turn. So then I just kind of sit back and wait until they send me a final mix or a product.
Yeah. That
For sure.
So it sounds like y'all have a good setup, though, like a good good game plan that's going on. Is it Nathan Lewis? So that's who's helping y'all out with the mixing and stuff?
Yes, Nathan Lewis. And then he has a guy who does mastering. I don't know his name off the top of my head, but and he sends it to him. But yeah, Nathan Lewis is the guy.
I've seen him all over Facebook, you know, because I try and keep up with a lot of local bands, you know. Sometimes it gets to be a lot to try and keep up with, like, oh man. So you know, but yeah, I've heard a lot of good stuff about him, and he's helped out a lot of really good bands, you know. He works with a lot of people.
Yes, he has. Daddy does. I mean, he is just extremely talented, and I'm just happy that we have someone with that talent and capability in Arkansas, because you would just, I mean, nothing. I mean, I love Arkansas, but it's just, you don't expect to really have that, especially in Ozark out of all places in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, man, so. you can't judge a book by its cover, you know. You never know. Yep. You can't judge people like based on where they live. You know, there's all types of people everywhere. You know what I mean? You have all kinds of different, you know, styles, stuff like that everywhere. You know, like, not everybody from a small town in the country, you know, and stuff like that, you know. But
it definitely opened my eyes to see stuff like that with Nathan, and then our vocalist being from Ball Knob. So it's definitely kind of opened my eyes to, like, wow, like you were saying, like, these small towns in Arkansas, like, they really have some people after all, because it just took a long time to
Down around Sheridan, I mean, so it's just everybody ends up moving. All the people that, you know, like, artistic, things like that, you know, always end up moving closer to Little Rock or Hot Springs or Fayetteville or something, you know?
Exactly. It's always one of those three. And then half, you know, then I've known some people, they're just like, you know, can't stand the Arkansas scene. Then they go out to L.A. or Nashville or somewhere like that.
I've got a lot of family and friends that went to, like, Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington.
Yeah.
And stuff, you know? Because they're real big on tech. You know, there's a lot of tech jobs. Like that, where all the big tech companies are at. I've heard that Seattle or Portland, one of the two, is like becoming really fucking good place for, like, musicians to go and notice stuff right now.
Definitely, yeah. I've never been up there, but I would love to go up there and visit sometime. I just think it'd be a beautiful area.
Oh yeah, well, it would be like, yeah, definitely like beautiful country and stuff up there, you know. And then just the people, just the people, you know. I think I'd get along with people in Seattle or Portland or LA or something like that. I think I'd get along with people there a lot better. Then again, I don't know, you know, if they could, that stereotypical city asshole thing might be true, you know. That might be a true stereotype when I get out there, but
that's true. That's true, man. I've only been, I mean, yeah. Exactly. And it happens, because I remember my grandparents took me on a senior trip to New York City, and it was very true. Those people in New York City were not nice. It was just weird coming from the South. You know, you're used to people, like, opening doors. They say thank you, and just people, like, not honking at you and constantly flipping you off. I mean, it happens a lot. But in New York, it's just like, just everyone's in their zone. They don't care. It's just, but it's a different lifestyle. But and then some of those bigger cities surprise you. Like, I've spent a good amount of time in St. Louis. Everyone was super nice there.
Yeah.
And being around, you know, and I've been to, like, obviously Dallas and Nashville, and given those are southern, I guess, type cities, but it was just a lot nicer. But yeah, the New York City, oh man, it was pretty rough. Cool place, but yeah, the people are definitely a different breed. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, dude. It's just places like that. They have, like, you know, bigger music scenes and art scenes and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my fascination with, like, big cities and stuff, you know? And two, they have their own kind of beauty at the same time. just because there's not a lot of trees in nature and stuff like that doesn't mean that it's beautiful, you know? And, you know, like,
exactly.
People, they probably take that for granted at the same time, just like we take the country for granted. You know, we see some country-ass areas every day, you know? And it's nothing to us. Like, my girlfriend, she's from California, and, you know, she was telling me that, like, she thought it was crazy seeing, like, all the roadkill stuff. Like, the first thing that she noticed when she got left the airport, was all the roadkill on the side of the road. She's like, nobody cleans that up. No. Not very fasting. Well, that shit's going to sit there for a few days, you know, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, deer stuff out in front of people here all the time, though. We have a lot of have a lot of wildlife. We have black bears and shit.
That we do. I mean, because I'll just be driving home and see, you know, and I'm in downtown. Well, not downtown, but I'm off Central Avenue in Hot Springs, and there's deer running around everywhere. It's just
in the
it's
middle
crazy,
of town.
You know? And then,
Jesus.
But not, I'm like by Lake Hamilton, but like honestly, like it's right by the movie theater and my apartment and the Kroger, and there's just deer that are out there all the time, just by this little patch of woods. But it's pretty close to like being on Central Avenue, like right in the middle in the heart of Hot Springs. I mean, it's crazy. It's just how it is.
Isn't
like
that
you
where
said.
The putt-putt golf course is over there, Pirates Cove.
Yep, I am. Right,
I used
Pirates
to work
Cove.
There, man.
Yes, sir. Really, that's crazy. I don't know if they were here yet, but I'm in those apartments behind the mall.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I'm at.
The guy that owns that
I'm not
place,
sure if they were there yet.
Rich as fuck, but he's a cool-ass guy. He's not like, he's not like a stuck-up rich guy or anything. Like, he was a really cool. That was one of my favorite places to work, man.
I believe it. I feel like that would be a really cool job to have, especially like in high school or college or just as a young person.
I
think that'd be a cool
place
to be.
18 whenever I worked there, so.
Prime time to be at a place like that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I moved to Hot Springs with like three or four of my buddies and met a guy that did landscaping and fucking got into that. And I was like, I guess I'm going to do this, you know. And shit, now I'm 29 still doing the same thing.
Yep. Hey, it's a skill and it's in demand. That's for sure, dude. I mean, year round.
Oh yeah.
Honestly, you can always find jobs and have stuff to do with that. And my hat's off to y'all because I would hate to work outside from May to like almost October.
I've been going to school for coding, so hopefully I won't have to do this shit.
Mm-hmm. I feel that. Well, that's also awesome, man. That's definitely. Like you said, those cities you mentioned earlier, like you could snag a job out there.
Yeah, I'm gonna
awesome.
Shoot for like next year sometime. I'm trying to start looking for a job sometime like next summer or something. I don't know.
Well, I wish you the best of luck with that, man, for sure. And I hope it all works out.
Oh, thanks, man. It will. You know, it's just time for a job change. You know what I mean? With like climate change and shit like that, I can tell, dude, like summers are way more brutal. Winters are like, dude, I think it's going to be a cold-ass winter, I think, man. But it just seems like the weather is definitely changing. You know what I mean? Like,
you can
notice, especially if you work outside all the time. People that work outside all the time, they can, you can tell. Like, something's not right.
Definitely.
Every year, it's more fucked up.
For sure. Yep. I believe it. It is very hot. That's for sure. And, you know, and I can't, and it's just crazy to me that in the winters here, like I haven't seen snow for a very long time because it used to snow. It felt like every year, almost everywhere in Arkansas at some point. And I'm just kind of like, well, it may happen this year. I don't know. Cause it was super cold this morning, but who knows, man, it's just been really weird lately. I agree with you.
So, back to music. What bands inspired you to start playing drums?
Basically, it all started when I was, oh my goodness, in 2001 or somewhere around that. Like, I really liked, my parents were pretty young. Like, my mom was in her mid-20s when I was a little kid, so I remember her listening to, like, I wasn't really a fan of it, but I did remember her listening to stuff like, you know, Metallica, Godsmack, Ozzy Osbourne, and that kind of got me interested in rock music. I was just kind of like, you know, I can get with this, but it's like not really my thing. And then as I got older to like 10, 11, and 12, that's when I found Under Oath, you know, old school Linkin Park. And I was like, all right, this is what I like. So it all kind of started with Under Oath, Linkin Park, like I said, the Hybrid Theory and
Linkin Park. New metal type shit.
They're only.
Love new metal. I still like new metal, you know what I mean?
I do too. I do like it every once in a while. If I'm in the mood, that's for sure. Yeah. And then it went from like, after that, it went to, I was a straight scene kid. I admit it, man. Like, I was obsessed, you know, with those bands like Attack Attack, I See Stars, I Set My Friends on Fire, We Came as Romans, Woe Is Me. That was really what got me.
I know those.
Oh man, I could talk. I'm probably like you. I could talk forever about those bands and those in like 2010. Oh man, those were
I really got into Blood Runs Black.
Dark I remember Bird, a lot Cowboy, of people got into them. I liked Entombment of a Machine. That's what it is.
Yeah,
right? I was obsessed with that, like in seventh
Cowboy,
grade.
Yeah, dude, that shit. Yeah, fucking slap. Oh man, dude, that was the album, dude. The whole fucking album.
Yep.
So but that guy's vocal range is the lead singer's vocal range for that band. Fucking insane. Nuts. You know what I mean?
It is insane.
Because just how he can switch 100%. From a bare growl to a peace will like instantly, you know, and it's effortless. Mm-hmm. Effortless. Just so perfect. And he makes it look so easy. And like, you know, and then it's not.
I know, right? Like, I could never imagine doing that. Like, I can't even do the any type of scream without feeling like my vocal cords are going to explode or I'm going to, you know, I don't know how they do it. But he is nuts, that's for sure. Yeah. But that was kind of the bands that got me started drumming. Like, my first band was like a straight, like, scene metalcore band. Like, we put like Attack Attack covers and all that. And then it moved into like, then I met some guys who were more into like indie, progressive rock, experimental, like Dance Gavin Dance, a lot like Birds. So I played some of that for a while. And then my last band, Slick Grip, that was just more pop punk. And then that's just kind of what I stuck with. Stuff like kind of like The Story So Far, Neck Deep, Real Friends, Knuckle Puck, stuff like that. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Okay. Yeah, dude. I still listen to a lot of. A few of the local bands like Levels, Anchored Appetite, Gopher Gold, Census, all those guys. You know,
mm-hmm.
Those, they're all really good bands. And then, I listen to The Fray and shit like that. Like, the shit that I listen to just bounces around so much from, like, genres.
Yeah, and I think it's best to be open-minded like that, and all those local bands, like you said, are killing it, and I know some of them have been around for a long time. Like, I was playing in bands years ago, and they were still around, so I give them props, you know, for still trying just to get at it, make things happen, and just not giving up. I mean, that just shows what, you know, Arkansas bands are about, just about commitment and just having a good time doing it, and trying to get the state of Arkansas on the map. I just feel like if you could pick it up and put it by like Idaho or Montana, I feel like bands would get so much more attention because no one was really up there. I feel like Arkansas gets so screwed because you got Dallas, Memphis, Nashville, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, New Orleans.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all in that area. And I feel like Arkansas is just so overlooked because, I mean, if you really took Little Rock and put it somewhere where it's not as populated, I feel like a lot of these bands would have blown up or been touring the world by now. But that's just my opinion. I've always thought that.
Oh, yeah, dude, we have a shitload of talent here from everything from folk music to fucking rap, dude, like, and everything in between, man.
Yes.
Like, there's just so much good talent here that just doesn't get noticed. You know, I think, you know,
we've had, it really doesn't.
We've had like a couple of like country artists or some shit that got big. Then like Evanescence and stuff like that, but that's not very often that that shit happens. Like,
it's, exactly, it's very rare. Yeah, it's sad.
Like,
man.
Like I know I've heard people bring up like Justin Moore and shit like that, the country artist and shit. Like, yeah, but he just got lucky, you know, really, and his family has money. You know, like they have money.
Yep.
And he got lucky, you know, that he got noticed at all. Like, he was just in the right place, the right time type of thing, you know, probably.
Yep.
And, you know, that shit. Arkansas is a shitty place. But, I mean, you know, with everybody's, like, the way, you know, the way everybody's really been connecting and stuff like that, you know, coming together to try and, you know, get people noticed more. And helping each other out as the community this year, you know, especially, I think that one thing that COVID did do was brought the community closer together. I think, anyways. And that's going to pay off in the long run. You know, it's going to.
100%. I completely agree with that. Definitely. It's definitely seems a lot better and just more like a family, because you know, and I know all scenes kind of go and wait or come and go, and like in trying to think of the word, I can't even think, like they have their good times, bad times, just things like that, because it's just kind of been up and down since I've been in it for the past 10 years, just to, with that like connected family type feel. But I completely agree with you. I think over the past 2 years or so, and especially once COVID came along, I feel like everyone is just kind of together now, and they just want to see bands from here start to make it and have an impact. And like Gopher Gold's one, I'm stoked for them that they got an In Vogue Records with bands like In Her Own Words and The Plot New used to be on there. I mean, so I think that's great. And I know if COVID wouldn't have happened, Gopher Gold would be touring the country.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just a fact. So I'm super stoked for them. And that's also good, just levels. And I assume they're signed.
I'm actually not really kept sure, up with them lately. But I know, like, I know people in like, Florida and shit listen to Levels. So,
yeah. They have done a lot of touring, and my hat's off to them, especially Dalton, because I know that he was really the driving force behind that. And a lot of his members had to work and, you know, had other obligations, but he was just always out there finding people to go on tour with him and make Athens. Yeah. So, and that's, I remember how exhausting playing a weekend tour would be. I can't imagine doing like week after week. So I really respect that. My hat's off to him.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. All those guys put in a lot of work, man. Every local band have is putting like some major work here, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with
definitely
everybody's got more free time. Or a lot of people do, you know.
Yes.
Even if, like, you know, people that are, like, working from home, stuff like that, you know. Shit.
Yep.
You gotta find something to do.
You really do. I'm in the healthcare field, so I really haven't had. My life's honestly been pretty much the same, except having to wear the mask and go everywhere. But so I haven't been able to really relate to that with the working at home and not being able to do a whole lot. But you're right. I mean, there's been a lot of people, and some of my bandmates, I'm sure plenty of others in the scene, and people like you do in podcasts, like you've had a lot, potentially a lot of time to just kind of reevaluate what you're doing and try to game plan and come up with new ideas.
Yeah.
And I think it's been beneficial for sure.
Yeah. Well, I work at a hospital also doing ground maintenance. So, it hasn't changed just a whole lot for me, but I have had to quarantine a couple of times and get tested you know, all that good stuff, because at a hospital, somebody's going to come up positive at some time, you know, and then everybody's got to get tested and quarantined.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everybody that was in the
vicinity,
you know. And so it happened.
Yeah, I've luckily never had to quarantine, but I feel your pain. There was about a 4-month span where I had to get tested twice a week. I work in a nursing home.
Oh, okay.
So, I can relate to you. The lovely feeling of getting that shoved up your nose all the time, which I had to get mine today, actually. I got another one. Yeah. Uh-huh. So now it sucked at first. I still shed a tear or two and sneeze every time, but I just keep it real. But it sucks. But I feel you, man. I've never had to quarantine though, but I have had to work directly with COVID patients, and that's always a little But that's scary. But I wear like a hazmat suit. It is. It's crazy, but luckily I've never had it. And I understand, what my boss has tried to say when everyone's super paranoid about it. They're just like, hey, like, they're humans too. They need treatment. They need to get better. Right. And I was like, I get that. So, yeah. So we make it happen.
Yeah. So, was the drums your first instrument or?
First and only. Yep.
Really?
That's it.
So you don't play anything else?
Yep. Nope, not at all. I played bass for maybe a month or two thought maybe I wanted to do something different. But no, drums, my stepdad made a joke when I was like 10. He was like, hey, I'm going to get a guitar for Christmas. You can get a drum set and play drums. I thought he was serious. So I got a drum set. He was like, oh no, I was just talking. And I was like, well, I'm going to try it. And it was just kind of natural. Like, I was just able to pick it up and run with it. And then once I got to that point where like I couldn't really progress any further without learning sheet music and time signatures and all that. So then I did lessons for 6 years and graduated, and the drums and drums only. That's all I've done.
Oh, yeah. So you didn't play drums like high school or anything like that? Like band or anything?
No. Mm-mm. I never did like a school band. I just always played with local bands. That was about it.
I don't think there's not a whole lot of people that did that. I don't. I've asked.
Yeah, it just was like it was cool, and I felt like it could help me learn some things, but I was just like, I kind of prefer doing like the music I like with my friends at bars and like clubs and things like that. That's what I was more about, so just playing that type of setting. They've got some talent, man. I can't put like my mouth on a clarinet or whatever to make sounds with it. And I couldn't do the marching band with the drums and the big old bass drum. I couldn't.
No, I wouldn't be able to do that either, man. They would hate me because I smoked too much weed. Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. We'd be bringing the band down for sure. The school band, that's for sure, man.
Just break off into like a pop punk rhythm. What are you doing?
Hey, it may work. Yeah. I know. We're playing real music. Yeah. Nah, that's terrible. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's hilarious. Dude.
It would be. It would be a good time. We could. Do our own little thing, probably make it work. But, it just seems insane, especially like when they're like the U of A and I see them at the football games.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, my goodness. Like, I can't imagine.
Oh, yeah, I respect what they do, man. Those guys are talented for sure, what I mean? And keeping up with, you're not playing with, five or six guys, man. You're playing, 50 other people on all kinds of different instruments that you got to keep up with, man. That would just be insane to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I guess...
Yep, yep.
What was you going to say?
I totally agree. Oh, I was just saying, I completely agree with you. Just, it's insane how many people you have to be in sync with, and you have to just practice. And that's just so much pressure, especially if you do it at a football game in front of 70, whatever thousand that stadium holds.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine. So,
yeah, that'd be fun. All right. Yeah. Dude,
Oh, good. Yeah, I can hear you. Sorry, it just keeps kind of cutting out, in and out. I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. There we go.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a pretty good signal on my phone. So,
gotcha. I do too, so I'm not sure what's going on. I don't know if maybe the app's just being
that's what I get for. That's what I get for talking good about Spotify. Beginning of the podcast.
I know, right?
I talk good about them, and then it all faulty. And
then it all went downhill. Don't you love it?
It hasn't went all downhill, man. This is going to be a good episode. Oh, you know what I mean? With editing and stuff, you know, it's going to come out really well.
Oh yeah, I'm stoked to. I'm stoked to hear that for sure. And I enjoyed talking with you. This is my. They've done so many other podcasts. I think
that's
they still have like 15
ask
or
y'all ask you yeah. about is y'all been scheduling a lot of podcasts. You know, I've noticed that, and dude, that's a good strategy.
Yeah, and it was just kind of interesting because when I was, you know, playing a couple of years ago, I obviously podcasts are around, but I guess none of us really listened to them, or maybe they weren't as popular as they are now.
Yeah.
And then our guitarist, he really enjoys them. And, you know, he was kind of one of the ones we talked about earlier with the whole COVID thing. Like, you know, his semester got put all online, and he does like DoorDash and Uber, so he can kind of work whenever he wants. So he had tons of time on his hands just to sit around and kind of think, okay, what could we do to maybe, you know, promote and get our name out as much as possible. So he was like, I'm just going to book a ton of podcasts. And that's what he did. I mean, I think he said he booked like 50 or 60 in a 3-month period. I mean, I think like I'm doing one, and I know our guitarist and our bassist are doing another one at this moment. Yeah. So it's just trying to make as much happen as we can. I agree with you. I think it's a good strategy. It's the first for me. This is the first one I've ever done like fully by myself. So, but I've enjoyed it. You've been a good host and just making me feel at home. And, you know, cause I've been on a couple and some are just so awkward.
Really?
Or they're just so quiet. Ow. Yeah. And it's just kind of like, ugh. Like they'll just ask like real generic questions and then we respond and they just kind of sit there. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, how about this? I mean, it's just, there's just like no vibe there, and maybe just they're just not super energetic, and it's just kind of like after 20 minutes we're like texting each other in the group chat like, all right, like we'll call this a practice for the next one. So those things happen, but not the case with you at all. Like I said, I really appreciate
it.
Yeah,
I've been doing
it
for a while, you know, and I started off with doing a solo show, so I had to learn how to teach myself how to, you know, talk and, you know, tell stories, mm-hmm. and talk, and, you know what I mean, keep you know,
definitely.
Keep something going constantly, you know, with, you know, pretty much talking to myself with a microphone, you know, for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I don't have a problem. I like to talk. And,
Oh, yeah, and I can tell you've been doing this a while, for sure.
I want to say it's been about a year. I've had this podcast going for about a year.
Well, hey, that's a good, solid start, for sure.
Yeah, I started, like, 3 or 4 months before COVID hit, and and I was just doing, like, reviews and stuff like that for bands. I would do, like, a spotlight segment. And just different segments and stuff, you know. So, but it was fun, and you know, I got myself out there enough to start booking guests and stuff, you know, on the show, and putting myself out there like that. Before I didn't just jump straight into booking guests, like nobody knew who I was, you know, nobody knows who I am, stuff like that, you know what I mean? So I was like, I'm just gonna put myself out there as a solo show, and then do guests later on down the line whenever I'm more familiar with my equipment and all of that stuff. You know? And it's worked, you know? So.
Well, I'm happy to hear that it's been working out for you, and I'll for sure have to give it a like and share on Facebook, because I've been learning, you know, about so many new podcasts and
there's
people like yourself. So,
like Same Old Devils, and that's a really good one. Randy Harlan, he's a really good guy. And then you've got Crash Cast with, you know, Corey Fisher.
Corey,
yeah,
yep.
That's a good one. And then, you know, there's just a ton of them, you know. And then Lobster Party just kicked off, you know, with Sal Valencia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that guy's a really cool guy. There's just a ton of talent, you know, with not just with music, but with podcasting and stuff. And that'd be cool to bring podcasters together, you know, and make that scene a little, more tight knit, you know what I'm saying? Instead of like, you know, cause I don't look at other podcasts as like competition or anything like that, you know. I look at it as like, you know, that's awesome. You know, I want to help support, you know, other people's podcasts and stuff like that too, because I enjoy listening to other people's podcasts. I'm not going to sit around and listen to my own podcast, obviously. So, So I enjoy the local podcasts and stuff that come out of Little Rock and you know, all over the state. Really, it's a really cool thing. Like I said, it's a really good strategy because they all have different audiences too. You know, like
that's very true.
Yeah. So. Anyways, do you want to plug in your fan pages and stuff like that? Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that.
Yeah, for sure. The Facebook is, you can find us at Riverview Official, and then on Instagram it's Riverview Band AR, and then obviously we're on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Amazon Music too, and just. I think that pretty much covers it all. We're just, you know, just getting started and looking forward to once post COVID and playing some shows and everything.
And one more thing before I finish this. Somebody mentioned something about y'all are going to start centralizing all of y'all stuff around Instagram.
Jacob really has been trying to come up with some sort of Instagram strategy. It's just kind of something maybe in the works that we're all going to try to work something out. Basically, they just, I know him and maybe even Jeff, they really kind of want to focus on growing Instagram since we've really been hitting Facebook hard, just trying to, you know, just kind of learn different ways and techniques to grow on other platforms aside from just Facebook alone, just to get as much publicity and get out there and get as many fans and follows and exposure as much as we can.
Yeah. Dude, Instagram is a really good place for that. It's a really, really nice platform, man, you know. I mean,
that it is.
Ran by Facebook, I mean, you know, but what I like about it is everything you post on Instagram, you can automatically post it to your Facebook and Twitter from Instagram, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a really cool feature. It saves a lot of time, you know, so you don't have to go over to Twitter and post the same thing, you know, and all that, all that crap, you know what I mean? So that's why, you know, I've found it a good spot to like centralize my stuff out of, you know, for my page. But
heck yeah! Well, I'm glad you really enjoy it. It's been working for you and your podcast,
dude,
and everything.
Y'all too, man. I'm glad that Facebook's been treating you guys well since y'all created y'all's page. Started posting stuff. Looks like people gave y'all a really warm response to Knuckles whenever y'all posted that on Facebook. So,
congratulations. It's been really very... Well, I appreciate it. It's definitely been well received, and we're thankful. And the Facebook stuff, you know, my old band, Slick Grip, used to really focus on that. So I just kind of took what they taught me and have just tried to apply it with us. And some things have changed, and some things have still continued to work. So we're just kind of rolling with it and just seeing what happens. And now just trying to move on to, like they've talked about, like Instagram and I know. I think we may have a Twitter. I don't keep up with Twitter at all.
See the hard work you guys are putting into y'all's music and things like that, especially with y'all's first single that you released. You know what I mean? You can tell the work that's been putting into it, the professionalism, and not just with the music you guys are doing, but the way y'all are handling, you know, booking. Podcasts and different things like that, you know, and putting yourself out there, you know,
for sure.
You guys are going about it really well, you know, well thought out strategy, you know. So,
I do appreciate it for sure, and I'm really looking forward to when I can start, you know, after all COVID, booking shows, booking weekend tours.
Dude,
trying to get off work a week or two and go do an actual tour, just do some, because just to really get that exposure. And just because even in my old bands, when we'd go out and play like St. Louis or Memphis or Tulsa, you know, you go out and they're like, oh, wow, y'all are from Arkansas. We didn't think anything existed there. Like, yeah. That's just always how it is. And so people are just always kind of dumbfounded, but in a good way, I guess, that they're like, oh, wow, there's some cool bands in Arkansas. And then that's when they discover the bands, like when they look into it, like Levels, Go for Gold, Census, Anchor the Appetite, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, they're all so good. Anchor the Appetite, they only got to play, they got to play their first show, you know, and then COVID mm-hmm. happened and it just like messed yeah. up everything. I was like, dang, you know, because I love all those guys so much, dude. And their music is fucking yep. amazing. Dude, I was looking forward to so many more shows there, dude. And everybody else, too, yeah. obviously, you know what I mean? But, man, I was like, that really sucked.
Definitely.
You know? But that's
it did.
That's got to suck, you know, the feeling of, like, playing your first show and then everything comes to a halt. I could imagine that.
Yeah. But, I can't imagine how much of a letdown that would be, because I remember even years ago, like I've known Tyler Bakke a while. I remember his first band, the supporting cast, like took over Arkansas for a while. And Tyler was showing us, he's like, hey, like I'm working on this new band. And he showed us demos. And that was what is now Anchor the Appetite. We were like, well, this sounds awesome. I mean, that was years ago, like I said. So he's really been working on it. And I'm sure it was so heartbreaking to like play one show after you've been working on it for a long time, and yeah. then it's just like, okay, well, now you got to go back to working again, I guess, before you can have any more shows or
yeah
things like that. Dude, so they're still yeah doing I do hate super it for them. Good.
But are you guys gonna come out with a merch line anytime soon?
We plan on it, probably throw up some pre-orders in January or February, and then hopefully get those shipped out, you know, just a couple weeks after pre-orders. That's kind of the approach
okay.
that we'll probably go with. Yeah, that's what I've kind of done in the past and what we really like. You know, I was kind of made the mistake in the past of, and you learn from these mistakes about, oh, we're going to, you know, I'd be in bands, oh, we're going to sell all these shirts. And then you drop hundreds of dollars and then you sell like three of them. So I said, okay, we're never going to do that again. So
yeah,
the last band I was in, you know, you just take the pre-order approach and then you get the orders and then you ship them out. That way, you know, they get their product and you don't suffer financially. Oh, so yeah. It's a win-win for both.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you have a lot of experience or a little bit of experience, you know. So, like, you know, that's good, man.
Definitely. My old band Slick Grip taught me a lot, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I heard a couple of those. I caught on to Slick Grip like as it was ending. So.
Yep, it was a real good time and it was a good run. I mean, I can't complain when our last show was at the Edge's Monster Ball at the Metroplex with Bad Flower to 500 people. You can't. Yeah, you can't be mad to go out on a note like that.
No,
you know?
That's the perfect
it was really cool.
Way to end that.
It really was. I'll never forget, you know, being a little local band and the vocalist and I were like, let's just go see if anyone's at the door. And there's just a line as far as the eye can see. And then you step on the stage and people are cheering and you're just like, why? Because they think, you know, at that point you're like a touring band with the big band and all that. So it was just really cool. And it just gave me that taste of not really like I quote unquote made it, but just success. And you're just like, man, you would do anything to get that back. So that's just why, even though it ended, I was like, all right, I got to grind it out and try to get back to that point and hopefully even better. Because that night I'd been working towards something like that since I was like, started playing drums at 10, like just to get up and play to 500 people at the Metroplex for the Edge's Music Halloween Fest. Like that. I mean, it was just really, really incredible. It was awesome.
Yeah, dude, that would be awesome. You know, that would be super sick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a good time, and it definitely was a good learning experience.
I think
experience,
I would have
for sure, man.
Breath.
Do what? I'm sorry.
I would breathe up. I'd have stage fright.
Yeah, it You know, we definitely had to take a couple shots backstage to kind of loosen up, but it was just insane to walk out there and see that. And but it was just really cool. And also towards the end too, it was really neat to go play cities like Tulsa. And I remember specifically there were four people like, yeah, we drove 2.5 hours to come see you. And it just blows my mind, you know, like, hey, like, I'm just a dude from Arkansas who plays music, you know? So it was just really cool to get those experiences. And I just hope to, and all these guys in Riverview are basically brand new to the scene. They've never done anything. So I just am excited for them to get involved with the scene and do shows, do some traveling, play music, and just to, you know, experience what I have, because it's just, there's nothing like it. Nothing like playing music, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I like going to shows, just watch them, you know. So.
Going to shows are always a good time too. You just get to enjoy it, and you don't have to do any of the insane work or financial that goes into it. Oh my
exactly,
goodness!
Man.
Some days I'm just like, oh yeah. Some days I'm like, why did I?
I feel like I'd be a good hype man.
I could see that. Yeah. I could totally see that.
I'd go. I would totally just dive off the crowd, just come out. But
yeah.
Somebody could just open up with me just running and. Fucking just right as soon as the song starts playing, too. Like, don't even really give it time to build up, just give people a laugh.
I think that'd be
know?
Good.
I did that whenever I was a teenager at Reno's, at Nutfest, and I think it was at Nutfest. I remember Caden playing, I think it was Caden, and I fucking got up on the stage, and I was headbanging shit, and I fucking just like. Dived into the crowd, bro. I mean, I just dived into the fucking crowd, and everybody just moved, man. Everybody just stepped out
so they
of the
dropped
way.
You.
Dude, no, awesome. I was fixing to go head first into that concrete floor, and some fucking big-ass dude just grabbed me by my ankles right before my face, smashed the floor, dude. He grabbed me by my, and then sat me down real easily. And I was like maybe 15, 16 at the time, something like that, you know? And so that was a good experience. So, you know, I don't do shit like that now that I'm like 29 and stuff. Like,
yeah, we're too old for that now, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. I was just fucking wild, you know, used to be when I was a teenager.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's what it's all about, going to shows when you're young and acting like that. You're definitely hyping the band.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I would see things like that or people taking the mic or, you know,
I
just
used to
watch moshing.
Oh, yeah. I used
down.
To love starting mosh pits and shit. I still love moshing and stuff. I've never been good at hardcore dancing at all. Or actually know how to do like any like real moves or anything. But I still get out there and try. You know what I mean? Just because it's fun.
Hey, it's all about
the
effort.
Yeah, dude. I don't
give
a fuck.
And it is fun.
It's like, if I can give somebody a laugh, you know what I mean? Even though I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, if I can make somebody laugh, you know what I mean? Like, that's totally fine with me. I feel like, you know, okay, I did something good.
Yeah. Definitely.
I'm
giving someone a laugh.
Face, trying to watch me hardcore dance. They know I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Yeah, and usually, I'll be fucking lit.
Oh, yeah, you gotta be to get because that's when you really don't care, and then you loosen up.
Yeah, but sometimes
you may even dance
beer does not settle well with like moshing and hardcore dancing. And then,
I didn't think about that.
Oh, I've got
sick especially
before,
people
bro, at a show and had to run find the trash can, bro. Like, it was bad.
Oh, I believe
it. Like,
I'm sure. Oh,
dude, there was no holding. It just came out of nowhere. I was like,
oh, no.
Oh, yeah, dude. I was pushing people away. I was like, I gotta get out of this shit. Like, you know how people make those circles and shit? I was literally like pushing people out of the way, like, get the fuck out of my way, move. You know, like, I don't want to have to push
you
down,
you do not
but I will.
Be in my way.
If I have to run over you,
I would much rather be pushed down than
puked
on.
If I have to run you over and get you out of my way, I'm going to at this point.
That's just when that mindset takes over.
Yeah, like you just don't. No fucks given at that point. You know, you can't give a fuck at that point either. Because if you do give a fuck, you're going to puke all over the floor.
Yep. Yep. So at that point, yeah, I'm with
Baino's
you.
Is such a cool place too, because you know they've got that back patio section and stuff to go out on. Like, you know, mm-hmm. so if you do like get nauseous or whatever from fucking going too hard and shit at a show, you know, you can step out and get mm-hmm. fresh air, smoke a cigarette, hit your babe, mm-hmm. whatever, and kind of, you know, chill exactly. out for a second, then go back in for the next band. You know what I mean? That's what I love about
yes.
it. Yeah.
I agree. And I really like that Downtown Music and Juanita's were the same.
I never went
those
to those,
around.
Man. I've only been.
Oh, those were.
Yeah,
fun.
The only ones that, like, I went to Vino's in the Village way back in the day, and then I stopped going to shows for like a really long time, and then mm-hmm. the whole time, like, the when people were going to Juanita's and shit, I wasn't going to shows then. So when I got mm-hmm. back into going to shows, I was going to Stickies and the River a lot and shit. And then I started getting back into going to Vino's more and stuff right before COVID hit. So I was like, man. Because I think the people whoever does the sound at the River, dude, like, I don't know, man. I feel like the sound always comes up better at Vino's.
It's
distorted, the vocals and shit. It's with mm-hmm. every band. So, like, every band that plays there. And okay, I'm not trying to talk shit about the River, but like, this, I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to talk shit about them. But like, this is like something that like has concerned me, you know. And I'm not a musician or anything like that, but I can hear fucked up distortion whenever it's like that, whenever it's bad stuff.
That makes sense. I mean, I'm not, like I said, I guess I've never really paid attention to the vocals when I go, because it's more just, you know, I've always kind of focused what I play. Now, Rev Metroplex was the best by far, but like the Rev Room, like drum wise, like those were the best sounding drums. Now, again, I played that when I was like 16, so it was 10 years ago, but those drums were just absolutely incredible. And Stickies has had a great sound too.
Stickies has a great sound, man. I've always enjoyed Stickies, man. You know, it was just the last two times that, back in 2019, the last two times that I went to the Rev Room, the sound was like, it didn't sound as good.
Huh.
And I was like, did they get a new sound guy? Or like, what's going on with this shit?
They
like,
must have. They
this
yeah. It, I mean, it wouldn't
it's
surprise
like, you know, I could tell the quality or whatever, you know, because it'd been a, you know, it'd been like a while since I'd been there. And so I was like, shit, different. There's something about it different. And then I was like, the distortion, like, super distorted. The vocals were super.
I'm going to have to be on the listen next time whenever shows start for that, because I definitely didn't know. The last show I went to Rev Room was Attila, I think, that was early 2019. That was the last show I went to there. And, but yeah, Vino's, you said their sound is a lot better. I remember like back in the day when I was younger, it never really sounded, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it never sounded like spectacular.
Yeah.
And then I think they got the guy who ran Downtown Sound, and he made it a lot better.
So yeah.
It got a lot better. But yeah, Vino's is a very solid venue, especially since they know a lot of people came together and rebuilt the stage. Yeah,
yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. They rebuilt the stage. The sound has definitely gotten better, you know. I mean, it's, you know, they're just, they've been in the game for so long. You know what I mean? Like, that's the fucking scene right there, Vino.
It really is.
Yeah,
it really
somebody,
is. Vino's
somebody and... needs to do a documentary about Vino's, man. Like,
I agree.
Yeah, we.
I think it would be. It'd be a good one.
It would be a fucking great one, man. We need a Vino's documentary, so.
We may have to try to get that started and get some people on that and help out.
I know some people.
I like it.
I know a couple
there
people.
There we go.
Right
we'll
off,
make it
right
happen.
Off the cuff of my head that I can think of right now that. Man, that'd be a good project. But everybody's so swamped with, like, you know what I mean? Project right now. It seems like, because I know I've got like 5-10 different things that I'm working on.
Yeah.
I'm building a race.
Yeah, times
car,
are busy.
Doing a podcast.
Nice.
Going to school. Yeah. Yeah, I'm building a rally car.
Very nice. So, well, I hope it turns out the way you like it.
Oh, it's turning out good. I mean, it's also my daily driver right now, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Well, cool, man. Nothing like... That's a good daily driver.
Oh, yeah.
Like.
Well, I mean, rally cars have really good handling and suspension and stuff, you know? Because, I mean, mm-hmm. pretty much rally racing is pretty much street racing, you know what I mean? You know, it's not like drag racing or NASCAR. You're not going in a straight line, and you're not going in a circle over and over again. You know, you have, mm-hmm. you have hundreds of different turns. And none of them are the same. You know what I mean? It's a challenge. You know, and then you got ramps and shit. They put ramps in the mm-hmm. middle of curve on rally track. Insane.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Insane. Like, it's nuts, dude. I love watching that shit. So I started building the car. And mm-hmm. eventually, I'm going to get a new daily driver, and I'm going to race with all that stuff. And hopefully, I don't die.
I hope not either, my man. I'm not but, hey, going, it sounds like you're going to have a good time.
Dude, yeah. I mean, dude, I'm not. Nothing's going to happen. It's going to be fun, dude. You know, it's going to be a well-built car. I'm not going to go. I know my limit. You know what I'm saying? But...
Yes, and that's a good thing because a lot of people don't with a lot of things in general. It's like, oh man.
Yeah, I know my limit, man, and so mm-hmm. I'm not gonna hit a curb doing like 80 miles an hour, man. I mean, unless mm-hmm. like depends on the curb, you know what I mean? Like,
Fair enough.
I think I'm pretty good at like being able to judge like how fast I'm. But,
yeah,
you know, growing up. Like with these back roads, I did a lot of stupid shit cars growing up on these windy ass back roads here in Arkansas, you know. Dude, I used to haul ass around some roads, dude.
Oh, I do not doubt it because Arkansas, those little country towns and back roads, that's prime spots.
Dude,
to
I remember
it,
a bunch of people that would be doing like, you know, 100 miles an hour and shit down gravel roads and stuff.
Ooh, I'm good on that. I'm all good on that.
Oh, yeah. Dude. The fastest I've been on a gravel road is like 70, 75.
Oh, well, that's still, oh, man, I'm good. I drive about 30 miles. I'm like, all right, I need to slow down. I'm going to bust on my tires. So I don't have a vehicle like that built for crazy gravel road stuff.
I didn't either when I was a teenager. When I was a teenager, I was just stupid. And I didn't know how to treat a vehicle, you know, so it was like, you know, and once it broke, and I was like, man, I didn't have a vehicle for a few years after that, but I wish I would have taken care of that car, you know, but, anyway.
Hey, as long as you had fun with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, man. Dude, it's been a super good conversation with you, dude, and, I appreciate you coming on the show, man, and, dude. Good luck to you guys and Riverview and y'all got the shit back. Y'all are doing a really good job.
Well, I appreciate you for sure, Sam. Definitely, and I'll be sure to like your socials and share and all that good stuff.
Yeah, because
like I said, I think it's cool that I'm learning now about all these guys in Arkansas that are doing podcasts. So, you know, spread the love right back. And just watch you guys grow as well. I think that's
great. I appreciate that, man. You know, we're all going to grow together. So
that's what it's all about. Arkansas just coming together and all with anyone who's trying to create something and make it happen.
Exactly. Well, man, you have a good night. And thanks for coming on the show. Later, everybody that's listening. And don't forget to like, share, drop a comment down below. And we'll see you guys later. And keep an ear out for Riverview's next singles or that they got coming out, man. Because as usual, it's probably going to be dope, you know, just like their first one they dropped, Knuckles. Go and give that a listen if you haven't already. If you haven't, you're missing out, man. And if you don't go and listen to it right now, you're probably lame as fuck. But, I hope that's not the case. Don't be lame. Don't take that. All right, guys. Later, dude. Thanks for coming on.
Appreciate it.